Police. Welcome to everybody. A special word of welcome to the Honourable Minister of Police, Minister Bheki Cele. It's good to see him. Also, welcome to the National Commissioner of Police and his delegation. Also, the Civilian Secretariat. We will give an opportunity also for introduction of the delegation. Also, welcome to the CPF chairs of the related stations, and also welcome to the members. Members, just maybe a few administrative matters, just in terms of the program. Just a reminder, tomorrow we're going to deal with the IGS matters, and then there's a change next week. Members will remember that Honourable Groenewald submitted the private members bill, so we're going to deal with that on Tuesday from 9 till 10:30, and the original police program for that day will just shift to the Wednesday. So I just wouldn't give an indication to members, but that's already on the Z list, but just in terms of the preparation for honourable members. Members, in terms of today's meeting, I will first give an opportunity for the members and the relevant delegations to introduce themselves, and then I'll just talk about the approach. Yes, Honourable Malabatsi, we can start.
Goeiemôre, dames en heer. My naam is A.G. Malabatsi. Ek is al lid van hierdie komitee, dankie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. I thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Diane Carla Barnard here, member of this committee.
Morning, I'm Jerome Make, a member of this committee.
Thank you, honourable members. Minister of Police, National Commissioner.
My name is Bheki Cele, temporarily employed as a Minister of Police.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Minister, Honourable Members and colleagues. Honourable Chair, the delegation from the police is as follows. As I call their name, they will have to rise because the hall is full so that they can't be seen. I've got Lieutenant General Masemura, Deputy National Commissioner Policing. I've got Lieutenant General Fazi, Deputy National Commissioner Management Advisor Services. Lieutenant General P. Jacobs, CI, Divisional Commissioner. Lieutenant General Jafta, Acting Divisional Commissioner Visible Policing. Major General Nelson, Acting CFO. Major General Tiens Kukuni, Head Crime Registrar. Major General Leon Ravi, Head Strategic Management. Major General Governor, Personnel Management. Brigadier Mushi, Acting Head Organizational Development. Brigadier L.S. Malahlela, Executive Secretariat, National Commissioner's Office. Brigadier Vishnu Naidu, Spokesperson, National Commissioner's Office. Colonel K.P. Stan, Parliamentary Liaison Strategic Management. Then the delegations from the provinces from Gauteng, led by Major General M.S. Masha, Acting Provincial Commissioner. Then Brigadier I.B. Perumal, Station Commander, Johannesburg Central. Brigadier T.S. Maduna, Station Commander, Kagiso. Brigadier A.S. Nevuholi, Station Commander, Hillbrow. Sorry for the pronunciation. From Western Cape Delegation, Lieutenant General K.E. Judah, Provincial Commissioner. Major General Davieri, Deputy Provincial Commissioner, Crime Detection. Major General Janti, Cluster Commander Nyanga. Major General Dio, Head Crime Intelligence, Western Cape. Brigadier Alexander, Provincial Head Crime Prevention. Brigadier P. Foscale, Provincial Head Organizational Development. Brigadier M. Swart, Provincial Head Crime Registrar. Brigadier Litwalo, Acting Cluster Commander, Mitchell Splain. Brigadier C.A.H. Gulam, Station Commander, Mitchell Splain. Brigadier Vivi Ngata, Station Commander, Nyanga. We also a joint together by our partners, community policing leadership. We have Ms. Dokkan, CPF Chairperson, Johannesburg Central. Then we've got Ms. M.G. Ramazia, CPF Chairperson, Kagiso. Then we've got Mr. D.C. Goldstone, CPF Chairperson, Hillbro. Then we've got A. Isaacs, CPF Chair, Michelle Splane. Then we've got two representatives from Nyanga, Mr. Makungwana, Nyanga CPF, and as well as Mr. Kwebe, Nyanga CPF. This is the whole delegation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. We will ask the Civilian Secretariat to just introduce their delegation. Thank you. Secretary, Mr. Appiah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Alvin Pumuzarapea, the Secretary for Police Service. In my delegation, and also the Mazias to raise up their hands or stand up, Takalani Ramaru, who is the Chief Director, Civilian Oversight, Monitoring and Evaluation, Bilkis Omar, Chief Director, Policy and Research, Furu Machize, who is the Director in Partnerships, Florence Matoma, Director in Monitoring and Evaluation, Melu Sinyati, who is also in Partnerships, Pumunzo Mazibandira, who is in Monitoring and Evaluation, Sam Maote, our Parliament Liaison Officer, and we are also joined by the Provincial Community Safety Representatives from Western Cape. We have Hans-Marie Marshall van Zyl, Director Community Policing Relations, and Lakim Josela. From Gauteng, we've got Mr. Menzi Kubai, MNE. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary. I also welcome to Honorable Imam Sheikh. Good to see you. I also see the Special Advisor of the Minister, General Max, in the background. So welcome to all media and other social society organizations. You're all very much welcome. Honorable members, this is a very important meeting, and we want to specially welcome also the station commanders of the relevant stations. Contact crime is a matter that concerns our communities very much, and it's important that we look at the root causes. That's why we decided to call the top five stations in terms of the previous crime statistics, look at what is the current approach, what's being done, and also to get feedback from the CPF chairs that are here today. We'll also give them 5 minutes to give their input and to engage. What can be done to ensure that we turn the situation around? We can't have every year, like Nyanga as the murder capital of South Africa. There must be a turnaround. But I think from the Portfolio Committee on Police, we recognize the police is only dealing with the law and order issues. A lot of the issues in those areas is really root causes that falls not within the police portfolio. It relates to local government, provincial government, civil society, and a whole range of actors, and that's why we're also going to get a briefing from the Civilian Secretariat to look holistically what can be done to intervene and ensure that we get a much better situation in the next release of crime stats. So that's really going to be our focus, and to see what can we learn, what can be more done, and what can be also provided from national and the provincial police management to support those stations in very difficult circumstances. So that's more or less the rationale for today's meeting. Also welcome to Honourable Philip Mashlongu. He's very much welcome to join us. So without further ado, we're going to start with the South African Police Service. They're going to focus first on the five stations and then the national interventions. And then we will give opportunity to the Civilian Secretariat and then to the five CPF chairs each 5 minutes, and then we'll go to the members. But of course we are lucky to have the minister with us today, so maybe if he wants to come in at this stage, he's very much welcome. Mr. Trele, you're welcome. If you want to share anything with the committee, you're welcome.
No, it would be later, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mulabatsi.
Thank you very much. In the introduction I had, there was an acting provincial chair introduced from Gauteng. Can we be told where is the provincial commission of Gauteng.
Yeah, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. The provincial commissioner is on medical leave, but obviously later through the minister will share other developments, but at the present moment she's on leave. We've got an acting provincial commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, General Sitole, for that clarification. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. General Sitole, we will then go to the first of the five stations in terms of the presentations and then the national picture. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just briefly, the five stations, two of the five are crime weight stations. All five stations, they are running on two streams. In terms of the turnaround vision, the committee will remember we've got a stabilization and normalization of crime. So some of these stations, they either fall under the stabilization or the normalization. So Kagiso, as well as Hillbro, they were stabilized. They went through the stabilization. At the present moment, they are normalization. But Johannesburg Central, Nyanga, and Mitchell's Plain, all three of those, they are still on stabilization. Therefore, we are dealing with both. For them, we are dealing with both streams, the crime weight as well as the hotspot nature of that particular police station. And two of the police stations are policing a safer city in terms of the 12 declared national pilots on safer city, which the safer city in this case is Johannesburg. Then all these stations, they are part of the top 30 crime weight stations, which I think were also presented previously to the committee. These stations are also the same stations that are targeted for resource upgrade in terms of the new structure that is about to be implemented. What we are anticipating and envisaging, which is part of the support that will require, is the local crime prevention framework at the level of all these particular police stations, because all of these police stations, they've got what we call inflated profiles. And once the profile of a station gets inflated, then it begins to undermine the resource level, which means the challenge of the profile outgrows the resources. It's either that particular police station will need to have resource upgrade in order to deal with the weight, or it will have to split because that particular profile might be warranting to be policed by more than one police station at the time. Then we've also launched the community policing strategy, hence why we are together with the community policing leadership working on the functionality of community policing at those particular levels. But from the side of the police, we've also presently busy with the development of the local policing framework at that particular level. But for all five stations, the presentation, with your permission, Chair, shall be led by Major General Leon Rabi. Thank you.
Thank you, General Sito. General Rabi, you're welcome to go ahead. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and members of the committee, good morning. As the National Commission indicated, we've prepared five presentations, one presentation on each one of the identified police stations that provides the committee with the necessary background information, also briefing the committee on the factors that is contributing to crime in the specific areas, as well as plans that have been implemented in the respective areas. I'm going to start with Johannesburg Central Police Station. Now, the presentations will all follow the same format, so I'm not going to repeat the overview every time. We're going to just give a brief background. Then we're going to touch on the crime situation, an analysis of the contributing factors or the root cause analysis, as well as problems that has been identified as far as the environmental design is concerned. We will touch on the plans that has been implemented by the respective police stations to address the high levels of contact crimes. that will include the detail with regard to your time frames as well as the responsibility. We also touch on cooperation with other government departments, non-governmental organizations to address crime, and then end each one of the presentations with a conclusion and a way forward. Honorable Chair, due to time constraints, I'm not going to deal with the detail of every slide. I'm just going to touch on the more important factors as far as they are concerned. We're starting the presentation with each one of them, just with a picture of the police station. There's a map that depicts the precinct, and it also indicates the number of sectors within each one of those precincts. Now, as far as the Johannesburg Central is concerned, it's got an area of 13 square kilometers. According to Stats SA, there's a population of 59,838. Committee just noted that excludes your daily influx of commuters. It's only people with permanent residence within the precinct. They have currently 6 fully implemented sectors that are operational. The Detective Service Center is operating on a 24-hour basis. There's 5 courts in the precinct. That includes your Magistrate Court, Family Court, Commercial Court, High Court, and Master of High Court. And there's also single quarters on the premises. As far as the fixed establishment of the allocated post of the station is concerned, it makes provision for a total establishment of 724 members. There is currently a total of 654, that is 70 below the allocated number, and the majority of them deployed in visible policing, 403, detectives 129, and a total of 122 people within the support environment. As far as the profile of the station is concerned, it includes your residential suburbs, there's business sector, hotels, hospitals, schools, tertiary education institutes, recreation centers, as well as 3 informal settlements. The residents the staying in the specific area is predominantly foreign nationals. In the release of the 2017-18 crime statistics, it is indicated that there's a reduction in robbery aggravating and robbery with weapon other than firearm, but we will also deal in more detail with the specific crime. One of the main problems identified in the area is the bad or hijacked building that causes a serious problem for policing. There are 6 railway stations, 25 bus terminals within the precinct. There's currently 166 registered liquor premises and 251 second-hand good dealers within the area, 17 taxi ranks, and various entry and exit routes, and that includes national routes as well as arterial routes. And currently all sector managers and vehicles are equipped with cell phones for the purpose of improved communication. All the vehicles are fitted with ABL. There's a crime forum in each one of the sectors. They also establish the block structures within the sectors. There's, as already indicated, there's high-rise and normal buildings that are basically or that are utilized for both business and residential purposes. There are a number of prominent buildings that includes the Premier's Office, the Gauteng Executive, Carlton Center, Transnet, the Thule House, the Reserve Bank, and the Gauteng Legislature. And I'll say, without going into the detail, if you look at the statistics that were recently released, and with specific focus on contact crime, there was a slight reduction in the number of incidents that were reported in the previous financial year compared to the 2016-17 financial year, where attempted murder and the robbery aggravated indicated decreases, but unfortunately, as far as murder, assault, GBH, and common assault is concerned, there has been increases in the crimes, as it is reflected in the top right corner of the specific slide. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to deal with the other categories. You will know just briefly going through contact-related, property-related, is primarily you will see a reduction in those types of crime. In the, I think the more problematic indication is the current financial year. That is on slide 12. If we look at the semester 1 of the current financial year, that is now up to September compared to the same period in the previous financial year. There is a notable increase in incidents of murder, attempted murder, assault GBH, common assault, and total robbery aggravating. So unfortunately, as I indicated, as far as the contact crime category is concerned, there is a notable increase in the number of incidents in the first semester of the current financial year. The same crime statistics are just repeated and presented differently in each one of the slides, so I'm not going to deal with them in detail. With your permission, I would like to deal with the analysis of the contributing factors as well as the root causes and the environmental design, starting on page 17. Now, each one of the stations has been instructed to do a proper environmental analysis to determine the root causes contributing to the high levels of contact crime in those specific precincts. And these are the factors that has been noted within the Johannesburg area, talking to your socioeconomic factors, high levels of unemployment and substance abuse, your hawkers that are doing business on pavements. There's also, as far as the environmental design is concerned, bad lighting, dilapidated, abandoned, and hijacked buildings. There is quite a significant number of displaced people within the environment. There's a significant daily influx of commuters, and that includes your undocumented foreign nationals, drugs, availability of drugs within the precinct, the level of liquor outlets. As I've indicated, the number of your registered or licensed liquor outlets that I referred to in the previous slide, your sex workers, the high density of the inner city, the high number of entrance and exit routes within the precinct that includes national and arterial routes, as well as second-hand goods dealers within the precinct. Now, I would say the plans that has been implemented, or the plan that is currently being implemented to the station to address this, and with specific emphasis on contact crime, that includes your murder, robbery aggravating, robbery common, robbery weapon other than assault, GBH. The detail is reflected there. I'm not going to go into the specific detail, maybe just try and touch on the objectives of the plan. And specifically when we look at the crime information analysis, the first activity that the station is currently embarking on, and the committee will note that the majority of these activities will stretch until the end of March in the next financial year. It is, first of all, starting with a detailed docket analysis to determine your crime patterns and your crime trends, to notice where these areas of displacement of crime, and then also to have a monthly and weekly crime pattern analysis and crime threat analysis for operational purposes. Suspect profiling, the profile taken on contact crimes are enhanced with regard to previous convictions, and also to maintain a proper database on repeat offenders as far as this specific category of crime is concerned. Then also focusing on the updating of the picture identification system, photo albums for the purpose of the identification of possible suspects. The monitoring of the capturing of crime on our systems to ensure that all the detail of the crime is correctly captured on systems, that will ensure that we have proper crime threat and crime pattern analysis, the monitoring of vehicles on a daily basis to ensure that vehicles are properly deployed and utilized within the specific areas that they have been allocated to. And also the monitoring and taking of and capturing of buckle samples of arrested suspects to ensure that we have a high level of compliance. The target has been set to increase that at least to a level of 95%, and then also the taking of photographs for the purpose of capturing it on the INPA system of SAPS to do comparison between the relative systems. From a crime prevention perspective, the crime prevention operations, specifically starting with your roadblocks, that will specifically focus on the retrieving of firearms, the transporting of stolen goods, the testing of vehicles to determine whether they're stolen, the searching of persons for dangerous weapons and drugs, as well as the arresting of undocumented person during the duration of the operation. The members will also note that there is a multidisciplinary approach followed in terms of the role players that are reflected on the screen, where, and without repeating them every time, they have involved the security companies within the precinct, the Johannesburg Metro Police Department, Gauteng Traffic, CPF patrollers, the flash capability, as well as the Department of Home Affairs to take part in the specific operations, and then also to have regular joint operations focusing on second-hand good dealers with the aim to identify irregularities as far as that is concerned. The activities and the objectives are reflected there. Then still within the prevention of crime, to ensure that we have intelligence available to drive our specific operations, and where there's intelligence received as far as specific crimes are concerned, that the SAPS capability is in a position to immediately respond to that then also to conduct disruptive operations to be held in the identified hotspots within the specific precincts or sectors focusing on the identified hotspots. Then lastly, the regular joint operation with security companies, maintaining a sound relationship with security companies and initiate operations for crime prevention. And that will also stretch during the period where we currently are until the end of March in the next financial year. The assignments that were given to sector managers, they first of all need to ensure that that the all reported crime is properly validated, and that crime scenes, etc., is visited or revisited to ensure that we have accurate information available on the details of the crime that has been reported. Patroller operations to be performed in conjunction with SAPS, that is also aimed at reduction of contact crime in coordination with the relevant sector managers. Sector forum meetings, and the purpose of the sector forum meetings is to engage communities to inform them of crime that has been reported within those specific precincts, and it also to act on information that has been received from the sector forum meetings. Identification of environmental factors contributing to crime. The aim of that exercise is that sector managers actively identify your problematic or environmental factors that contributes to the crime situation, and then to engage with the relevant departments on a regular basis to ensure that those factors are being addressed. In the detective environment, the inspection of dockets to make sure that primarily focusing on the quality of our investigations to ensure that all the relevant statements are properly taken, the elements of crime, all the detail that is required in terms of our SAP 6 checklist is available on our dockets. Our the conducting of preliminary investigations, obtain information, witness statements where possible, and the arresting of suspects, and that is being targeted within a 24-hour basis from when the crime is being reported, and then the suspect tracing, where suspects are known, that measures are implemented by the respective competencies to trace those suspects and to ensure the quality of investigations, tracing and arrest of known suspects as far as reported crime is concerned. Second hand good operations, and that will specifically focus on the tracing of stolen property that is kept at second hand good stores, and then also to strengthen the information network or the informer network at the police station and ensure that we effectively utilize all the information sources that are available. Social crime prevention, supporting of victims, provide victims with the required support, the victims of taking or providing victims with a place of safety, and then also the utilization of police or social workers for the purpose of counseling. Crime awareness campaigns, the main aim of the exercise will be to inform communities, local communities, of the prevailing crime threats, and then also inform them of the available support in the specific precinct, as well as school talks and awareness campaigns. And then lastly on that slide, engaging with stakeholders and to identify and inform them of their specific responsibility to ensure that we have a multidisciplinary approach to the fight against crime. Communication, media releases. The aim of the exercise is to regularly communicate with our communities to build confidence, to make them aware of the activities that has been implemented by the South African Police Service, as well as the successes achieved. The publication of safety hints with the aim to educate our communities and share preventative hints. Internal newsletter, it's the aim of the exercise to intensify internal communication and have shared goals at the station to ensure that all members of the SAPS work together towards a common goal in fighting crime in the specific precinct. And then lastly, the Hall of Fame, to encourage members by placing photographs if they have excelled in their duties. The vehicle fleet, then, to ensure that our vehicle fleet, in terms of the available vehicles that has been allocated to the police station, that all at any given time that we have a percentage of 80% of the vehicles available for operational duties. Now, Honourable Chair, as far as the cooperation with other government departments and NGOs are concerned, just the following. The Department of Home Affairs, Immigration Officers only work office hours. They don't form part of the operations. The social development capability, unfortunately, has limited shelters available, and then also the availability of space at places of safety at the moment is insufficient to assist the operations that are being conducted by the South African Police Service. So that basically talks to the challenges that we've identified with, as far as cooperation with other departments is concerned. Now, the partnerships, they are listed there. I've already referred to them: Metro Police, Gauteng Traffic, your security companies, Home Affairs, SARS, Social Development, your CPF community patrollers, as well as the local car guards. There's a couple of projects that we would just like to highlight for the purpose of the presentation. In a Jersey security project, is run by the regional director of the city council, where all role players have three operations per week to address challenges in the city that focusing specifically on liquor abuse, bad buildings and hawkers. And as they've also created a WhatsApp chat group to inform law enforcement of criminal activities and possible suspects. There's also reference to other joint operations as photographs of what has already been implemented in the city. I'm just going to skip all the relevant ones. And then moving to slide 35, Chair, the conclusion and the way forward, Johannesburg Central will continue to engage with communities and other stakeholders to strengthen their relationships with communities, to build stronger relationships with other law enforcement agencies. The Department of Social Development will assist with moral regeneration and displaced persons. The City of Johannesburg to address crime contributors such as bad buildings and infrastructure. And also the Johannesburg Metro Police Department to address municipal bylaws that refers to your hawkers, pedestrians on highways, traffic congestion, etc. I would say that is the brief background on Johannesburg Central.
Thank you. Can we then move to Hillbrow? Thank you.
The presentation follows the same approach. We will deal with the background, the crime situation, etc. That is just a picture of the police station as it currently looks like. Then there's a map included to give you an indication of the demarcation of the precinct as well as the sectors, how it's been demarcated. And it's got a precinct of approximately 10 square kilometers. According to Stats SA, it's got a population of 163,000 people. That excludes your daily influx of commuters. There's a detective center that operates on a 24-hour basis. The station has a court, district court, that serves four police stations in the area, and it's also got a married and single quarters. As far as the staffing level of the police station is concerned, the fixed establishment makes provision for a total personnel allocation of 371. We currently have a personnel competent of 415 people. That includes visible policing, 204, 120 detectives, and 91 people deployed in the support environment. The Honourable Chair, as far as the background is concerned, it is very similar to Johannesburg Central, so I would not go into the detail as far as that is concerned. In terms of the previous crime statistics, there was a reduction in most categories of crime. Similar to Johannesburg Central, they also have a problem with bad and hijacked buildings that contributes to the crime situation because of the lack of electricity, water, sanitation, etc. They have six sectors that is fully implemented, and the sector managers has been equipped with cell phones, and we currently have a minimum deployment of one vehicle per sector, and there are also crime forums within each one of the sectors. High-rise buildings, both residential and business purposes, the high-profile places within the area, our gestation area, includes the Constitutional Court, Civic Center, SAPS Provincial Office, Telkom Tower, Wits University, Kusatu House, Bidwest, Wits Stadium, and Charlotte Maxeke Academic Hospital. Crime overview, just briefly, Honourable Chair, in the previous financial year, as I already indicated, the majority of the categories, there was a reduction in crime. There was, unfortunately, an increase in the incidence of murder, attempted murder, robbery aggravating, and common robbery. I'm going to skip a couple of slides and just move to the current, the last semester, ending at the end of September compared to the same period in the previous financial year. Honorable Chair, we'll note that in the majority of the crime categories for contact crime, there was a reduction. It is only as far as common assault is concerned that we had a 3.3% increase and a 0.4% increase on robbery aggravating. The rest of the categories are reflected, and it's notable that most of them are green, reflecting a decrease in the reported crimes. The contributing factors, the liquor abuse, drugs and liquor abuse, a high level or high number of second-hand good dealers, overcrowding of residential areas, the abandoned hijacked buildings, illegal traders, informal traders, the influx of undocumented foreign nationals, the poor and outdated essential services, that includes your electricity, sewage, open park, your street children, and illegal and unregistered taxi ranks. The plans that has been implemented by the police station is specifically going to address murder, attempted murder, sexual offences and robbery aggravating. And this has, the plan that has currently been reflected has actually been implemented since the end of April in the current financial year, and it's continuously evaluated to ensure that it's got the necessary impact. The activities implemented, Honourable Chair, is similar to what I've dealt with in the other station.
Yeah, I think we can take it as a read, unless there's a deviation, then we can continue. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, there's more or less the same type of activities that are being implemented, so I'm not going to repeat them. It will differ in the number of operations conducted, etc., but the main principles remain the same as far as the activities. There's specific crime prevention activities, there's specific activities that has been allocated to sector managers. And for instance here, if you look at the slide number 17, where it differs slightly from Johannesburg, is the verifying of incidents. That has been is similar to what we already presented, but they're also focusing on patrollers operation as well as corner talks and bus stop talks, where they engage street kids, hawkers, domestic workers, and other stakeholders to inform them of crime trends and preventative measures that can be implemented. Detective service, very similar type of activities, tracing of suspects, your second-hand good operations, social crime prevention, also focusing on the activities of security companies and involving them in your policing operations, social crime preventions, stakeholders, they're having the detail available of all the stakeholders that is involved in crime, the fight against crime within the precinct, and also to finalize a social crime prevention plan for the area. The communications is to regularly report basically on successes as far as the prevention and investigation of crime is concerned, the regular publishing of crime hints, and then also a newsletter and the Hall of Fame that we refer to in Johannesburg. Resource availability, it's also ensuring that the operational vehicles are available, as also, and they're also focusing in this area specifically on absenteeism to reduce the levels of absenteeism as far as specific categories of leave is concerned. Other government departments, they have a similar problems, Oliver Chair, in terms of the challenges, the Home Affairs immigration officers that's only working office hours, as well as social development that has no shelters for undocumented and physically challenged persons. Let me say there's a couple of projects, specific projects registered that focuses on specific crime trends in cooperation with specific stakeholders. I'm not, with your permission, also not going to go into that specific detail. We have a couple of photographs that gives you the detail of that specific projects. And conclusion and a way forward, one of the most challenging aspects facing the inner city is the high number of homeless people. However, Hillborough SAPS will continue to mobilize all other applicable government departments to deal with challenges that is affecting the community of Hillborough. Thank you, Chair. That is Hillborough.
Thank you, General. Can we then go to Kagiso? Kagiso Police Station. Thank you.
Members, the Kagiso Police Station is part of that's the third station in Gauteng that we have to brief the community on. I'm going to follow the same approach. There's a photograph of the police station. You have a map that depicts the policing area. And it's got an area of approximately 78 square kilometers, according to Stats SA, a total population of 271,000. It's divided into six sectors with a minimum deployment of one vehicle per sector, and they also have a detective service center that operates on a 24-hour basis. The number of funded posts has been allocated to the station is a total of 319. Currently there's 309 with 161 people deployed with invisible policing, 71 detectives and 77 in the support environment. Just a brief profile of the station. The station is served by one magistrate court. It includes the residential suburbs, a business sector, hostels, schools, secondary schools and tertiary institutions. The community comprises primarily of local residents as well as foreign nationals. They also, similar to the other two, there's various entrance and exit routes. All sectors are equipped with cell phones or the sector managers. The sector cell phone numbers are displayed on the side of the vehicles, and all vehicles have been fitted with the automated vehicle location or AVL system, and every sector has a crime forum where policing issues are being discussed with communities and the business sector. As far as the crime situation is concerned, briefly, in the previous financial year, there was a 1.2% increase in the reported incidents of contact crime, where specifically in as far as murder is concerned, there was a 4% increase, common assault 11%, common robbery 5.8%, and sexual offences 6.5%. If we move to the current semester that just ended, the station managed to turn the situation around, and you will note, Honourable Chair, that as far as the majority of the contact crime categories are crimes within the contact crime category is concerned, there is a reduction. It is only the robbery aggravating where we had a 4.3% increase, but there's also as far as murder, attempted murder, notable increases of 11% reduction, 34% reduction, and common robbery 35% reduction. So that is the current status at the specific precinct. The contributing factors that the station identified in the environmental analysis includes your drugs, liquor, second-hand good dealers, overcrowding of your residential areas, illegal and informal traders, the daily influx of undocumented foreign nationals, outdated and poorly maintained essential services that includes your sewage and electricity, as well as the green belts. Now, the plans that has been implemented, similar to the previous station, this has been implemented since the 1st of April, and it's currently it's monitored on a continuous basis, and I may use the opportunity to, I think it's making an impact if you look at the crime figures in the first semester of the current financial year, and they specifically focus on murder, sexual offences, and robbery aggravating. The activities that are reflected within the station is also similar to the ones of the previous two stations, so I'm not going to go into the details. In crime analysis, it's about your crime threat, crime pattern analysis, suspect profiling, the updating of our NPIS system, photo albums for the purpose of identifying suspects, the monitoring of reported crime to ensure that we have accurate and relevant information available, monitoring of vehicle locations, the taking of buckle samples, the effective or improvement of utilization of the NPIS systems, crime prevention. That will also include your crime prevention operations, roadblocks, your disruptive operation, liquor-related operations with the support of the stakeholders that are reflected there. That includes your CPF patrollers, your support personnel, your Mogale traffic, and the local capabilities, liquor traders, as well as Department of Community Safety. You're also going to focus on community meetings to sensitize communities on reported crimes as well as preventative measures. There's also been certain tasks that have been assigned to sector managers, very similar to the previous one. They're also focusing on corner talks and taxi rank talks to sensitize communities, the identification of environmental factors to ensure that they are being addressed, as well as the conducting of disruptive operations with each one of the sectors. The detective environment that includes your docket inspections on a regular basis to ensure that we have quality investigations, We're conducting of preliminary investigations to ensure that we have possible arrest as soon as possible, suspect tracing, as well as the development or the establishment and effective utilization of a proper informer network. Socially, going to look at awareness campaigns to sensitize and educate our local communities, and also to get our stakeholders involved in the day-to-day combating of crime. And they've also, in this specific precinct, looking at school safety programs to educate learners about rape and drug abuse. The community arrest, they will also communicate your successes as far as the arrest of suspects is concerned, the regular publication of crime hints, and then a newsletter and a Hall of Fame. The cooperation with other government department, Honorable Chair, there's a couple of extracts and pictures that displays the current projects that has been initiated. They've all been listed, so they are actively involved with community projects within the precinct. Conclusion and the way forward, as a challenging aspect for Kagiso is the high incidence of crime that reported from Tsepusong Sector 6. However, we are continuing with operation to reduce high levels of crime, and operation that's been conducted includes Zamalek, Fiela, Buyam Tetu, and weekly cordon and search operations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You've run around Gauteng. Can we move to the Western Cape? Thank you, General Albi.
Although the principles in the presentation remains the same, they have a slightly different format that they use, but the content is the same that what we presented for the previous two. The policing profile, as far as Nyanga, I'm starting with Nyanga Police Station, they've got four sectors, and there is a map displayed that indicates the neighboring police stations on the borders of Nyanga Police Station, as well as the detail associated with the demarcation. If you look at the resourcing of the station, they've been allocated a total of 348 posts. 354 is currently filled. 210 of the personnel is being deployed with invisible policing, 70 within detective service, and 73 within support services environment. We look at the availability of vehicles. They have a total granted of vehicles of 80. They have currently, the actual is 77. And then there is a pie chart that just depicts the current mileage or kilometer reading of the vehicles. I think what is important to note is the vehicles that is in excess of 200,000, and there's currently 18 of them reflected in the light red and darker red portions of the pie chart. Crime overview, the chart indicates that as far as the 17 community reported crime is concerned over the last couple of years, starting 2008-2009, although there was an increase from 2013-14 up to 2016-17, there's a 4% decrease in this 2017-2018 financial year compared to the previous one. The number of arrests that are reflected at the bottom of the slide. This is as an indication of the different categories of crime. Honorable Chair, I'm going to focus on contact crime specifically. If you look at the financial year 2017-2018, there was a total number of incidents reported, 4,784, and that was 3.5% lower than the previous financial year. Contact-related crime, there was an increase of 7.9%, other serious crime, a reduction of 2.5%, and crimes dependent on police action, where we would like to see an increase in crime, there was an increase of 25.8%. This is just the detail of the respective crime categories. As you can note there, the contact crime, as I already indicated, decreased with 3.5%, contact crime decreased with 3.5%, and contact-related crime increased with 7.9%. Property-related crime remained stable, and other serious crime reduced with 20.5%. When we go into the contact crime detail, although there was a 3.5% reduction overall, there are two problematic categories. That includes murder, where we noted an increase of 9.6%, and robbery with aggravated circumstances, where there was an increase of 9.9%. The financial years, the previous financial year, this is just the respective categories of crime. These are the ones where we noted a reduction, attempted murder down with 6%, assault GBH with 18%, assault common 6%, common robbery 4%, and sexual offences 13.5%, and then the two categories that I've already reflected on, where we noted an increase in murder as well as aggravating robbery, 9.6% and 9.9% respectively. The motives and circumstances, when the station conducted a analysis of on murder to determine what the motives and circumstances are, and there is the statistics are reflected. They will see that it's quite a look at the circumstances and motives. Robbery 24%, arguments 20.5%, retaliation, revenge 17.5%. The actual figures are reflected there. Community retaliation, vigilantism 14.9%. Taxi violence 5.2%, domestic violence 3.6%, and other related cases 7.8%. Robberies are the most common cause of murders in Inyanga, being street robberies. Arguments being referred to here are those resulting in immediate reaction which led to the murder. And then community retaliation includes instances where large groups of community members retaliated to a confirmed or alleged crime. So the detail is reflected there. Honourable Chair, we just would like to fix your attention on the breakdown as far as the statistics are concerned. If we look at the instruments, in all the incidents that has been analysed in the previous financial year, 49% the firearm was used, 16% knife, sharp object 9.4%, stone brick 8.4%, and other instruments 16%. If we look at the days and the days of the week and the time, Sunday weekends including Saturday, Sunday, Monday collectively accounted for 68.3% of the incidents. Sundays contributed to 32.7%, Saturdays 23.9%, and the problematic time period is from 2100 hours until 559, that contributed to 52% of the incidents. Robbery aggravated instrument used, the detail is there, but I would just like to reflect on knife, 23% of the incidents, and firearms, 66.8% of the incidents, or a total of 1,099. The time periods, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the problematic time periods, or day of the week, and the time periods is from 1,800 hours until 12 o'clock at night, that accounts for 28% of the incidents of robbery aggravating. Crimes dependent on police action, that includes your illegal possession of firearm, ammunition, and drug-related crime. Honorable Chair, here we would like to see an incident because these are crimes where that is dependent on specific policing activities, and in the previous financial year there was a notable increase to 168 as it is reflected there. Drug-related crimes over the period 2014 to 2015 until the last financial year, 2017-2018, there's also a notable increase in the number of arrests that were made as far as drug-related crime is concerned. The contributing factors and environmental design, root causes, problematics. As far as the existing contact crime hotspots are concerned, Sector 1, Nyanga East, this specific sector contributes to 23% of reported crime. And there we have Nyanga, Sata Taxi Rank, Lusaka, Zwelitswa Drive Hostels, Ntlangano Crescent. Problematic offences specifically within this sector includes murders and street robberies. Sector 3, Brown Farms, this contributes to 30.9% of the contact crimes, and that includes your Siyaslala settlement, Siyazanzela Settlement, Sweet Home Farm Settlement, Village 4, Block 6, Governor Mbeki Avenue, as well as Cyril Ramaphosa Settlement, and the problematic areas offences includes murder and street robberies, carjackings, and house robberies. Samora Machel, Sector 4, it contributes to 25% of reported contact crimes. That includes your Kosovo Settlement, Oliver Tambu and Lillian Ngoy Streets, Masia Settlement, and the problematic offences includes murder, robbery, carjackings, and assaults. Factors inhibiting policing at the identified problematic areas is your no proper lighting in certain areas, especially in the less formal settlements, no street numbers, and there are certain streets within the precincts that is not accessible with vehicles. Formal houses are closely built and numbered in a chronological sequence. Houses are not fenced, especially in the hostels, and suspects can easily evade the police. Meetings aimed at mobilizing communities are problematic due to the non-availability of halls or venues. As a result, thereof, meetings are being held in the open field. And the environmental design challenges to construct, that includes the constructing of a shopping mall in Brown's Farm, new developments, and there's also new developments in the Brown Farms area as a result of land invasions on both privately and municipal owned farms. That includes Cyril and Ramaphosa settlement, as the pictures also indicate there, with approximately 3,000 informal structures. Itafeni settlement with 100 informal structures, and Julius Malema settlement with approximately 100 informal settlements. The generators of contact crime, that includes the proliferation of firearms, substance abuse, taxi organizational conflicts, vigilantism, and repeat the multiple offenders. The root causes of contact crime that is contributing to the problem currently is a high level of school dropouts, unemployment rate that is estimated at 35%, the high possibility of no prosecution of the crimes being committed due to the reluctance of witnesses to testify in cases as a result of fear of retribution. Other factors that is contributing to the contact crime is your service delivery protests, taxi strikes, as well as public transport challenges that includes the metro rail. Now, the operational concept, I would say that is being implemented in the Nyanga area, and it's specifically focusing on a geographically targeted approach, that is where they focus on specific identified hotspot areas and identified individuals, and they're focusing on these following generators of crime: person of interest, that includes your wanted suspects, your drug outlets, liquor outlets, and firearms, the identification of multiple and repeat offenders that falls within the category of serious and violent crime, the maximum deployment of the allocated capability over weekends to address the crime patterns, and then also the regular conducting of crime high-density integrated operation in the identified crime hotspots, the enhancement of an informer network that has also been referred to in the previous presentation, the conducting of your intelligence-led operations, the dedicating of competent and experienced detective to manage identified investigation, and also focusing on highlighted direct arrest cases to ensure quick wins. Cooperation with other departments, Honorable Chair, the respective stakeholders are listed there. With your permission, I'm not going to specifically address the nature of support in National Prosecuting Authority without going into the detail. We'll specifically focus on now the criminal justice system, the Department of Community Safety in terms of training and the induction of sub-forums and CPF members, Department of Correctional Services, attending community ambassadors with the purpose to educate communities, and then also City of Cape Town in terms of their law enforcement capability, Metro Police, and traffic to assist with cluster and station integrated operations. Liquor Board, to inspectors to assist with the compliance inspections, social development, to assist with your drug rehabilitation programs, and to assist with identified cases of possible child abuse. Elita Labantu, provide victim counseling. The Trauma Center is also focusing on victim counseling. Itafeni Center, victim counseling, educational products, and CPFs to mobilize communities. The way forward includes, Honorable Chair, the executing of operational plan that is focused on reducing contact crime, the deploying of additional intervention capabilities such as the tactical response teams as well as the provincial intervention team, and then enhancing community mobilization through neighborhood watches and CPFs, engaging other government departments that includes health, education, transport to play a supportive role in the combat against crime, the facilitation of availability of crime-fighting technology in certain hotspots that includes your CCTV cameras, license plate recognition software, and then lastly to prioritize additional resources for the broader Nyanga policing precinct that specifically focuses Samora Machel Police Station. We'll be talking about approximately 93 personnel and 24 vehicles. That is Nyanga.
Yeah, thank you. I think the analysis of the root causes in this presentation is excellent. That's going to assist the committee. Let's go to the last one, Mitchell's Play.
Thanks. I'm afraid I'm going to swallow it when I... I'm going to say the last one, Mitchell's Plain. That's the second police station in the Western Cape, the last one of the five that has been identified for the purpose of reporting to the committee. We will follow the same structure. There's a breakdown of the police station in terms of the sectors as well as the boundaries. Resourcing level, the total allocated post for the station amounts to 570. There's currently we have 451 personnel deployed at Nyanga Purach at Mitchell's Plain Police Station. That is 119 below the set allocation. That includes a deployment of 262 within the visible policing environment, 118 detective service, and 70 within support services. The total vehicles, they have been granted a total allocation of 116, of which they currently have 90 vehicles. In there's an age break or the kilometers breakdown of the respective vehicles, and we will also note that 21 vehicles that were procured in the current financial year, but we have a total of 24 vehicles that have always exceeded the 200,000 kilometer mark. Crime overview, as far as the 17 community reported crimes are concerned, that includes your contact related property crime and other serious crime. There was a reduction of 11.7% compared to the previous financial year. The figure involved is a total of 1,512 less than the previous financial year, with the total number of arrests that are reflected there. This is just a breakdown of the respective crime categories. I will move to the next slide where we can have more detail on that. Contact crime, there was a 7.7%, this is still a year-on-year comparison, there was a 7.7% reduction in contact crime. Contact-related crime, reduction of 15.3%, property crime, 8.2% reduction, and other serious crime, 17.3% reduction. And if we move back to contact crime again, although there was a 7.7% reduction in the crime category, there are certain crimes that are were problematic in the previous financial year. Murder, there was an increase of 35%. Attempted murder, an increase of 70.8%. Assault, GBH, increase of 4.6%. And sexual offenses, a total increase of 3.6%. Dealing with the ones that went down, as it is reflected there, and without repeating the specific detail, assault common is down. The common robbery, we saw a reduction, as well as robbery aggravating. And these are the categories where we noted an increase in murder, attempted murder, assault, GBH, and sexual offenses that ranges from 35%, 70%, 4.6%, and 3.6%. If we look at the motives and circumstances specifically around murder, 80% of the murders within this reporting period in the specific precinct, 80% is considered to be gang-related, 3.6% arguments and misunderstanding, 2.1% is associated with robbery, with the actual number of figures that are reflected there. Now, as far as gang violence is concerned, the suburb is experiencing the highest number of murders incidents of gang violence. That includes Tafelsig, East Ridge, and Beacon Valley. The instruments used still with murder, in 77% of the incidents, firearms were used, 11% knife, and 1.4% hands. Murder, the top days of the week, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, collectively amounted to 62%. Sunday contributed to 27%, Saturday 18%, Wednesday 16.4%, and the problematic time period is from 6 o'clock in the evening until 12 o'clock at night. That accounted for a total of 62% of the incidents. Attempted murder, gang-related 76%, robbery 4.1%, domestic violence 3.7%, retaliation 2.4%, arguments, misunderstanding 2.4%, and other 4.5%. And as far as just touching on gang violence, as in the case of murder, was mainly experienced in East Ridge, Tafelsig, and Rocklands. Multiple counts of attempted murder was identified in 25 of the incidents. As far as the robberies are concerned, it can mainly be contributed to street robberies. And domestic violence includes three counts where a daughter attempted to poison her mother, father, and uncle. In terms of attempted murder, Honorable Chair, the members, the top instrument used, once again, firearm, 87% of 214% of the incidents. The days of the week includes Sunday, Wednesday and Friday. That accounts for 53%. And the time periods, once again, is from 6 o'clock in the evening until 11 o'clock. Until 9 o'clock at night. That contributed to 26% of the incidents. The assault GB8s, it's primarily 22% knife, 10% is with a brick, 7% with a stick, 6% with a bottle, and 6.9% with the hand. The weeks, days of the week that are problematic include Sundays, Saturday, and Mondays, and the time period here is from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 12 o'clock at night. I would say there's a detail in terms of the sexual offenses. I'm not going to read through that specific detail. It is reflected there in terms of a breakdown of the victims as well as the distribution between male and females. The crimes against women and children, there was a reduction in 2017 compared to 2016-17. Crimes against women reduced with 0.93%, and crimes against children we reduced it with 1.6%. And the top contributing sectors in terms of both categories of crimes against women and children include Stavelsrug East, East Ridge, Beacon Valley, and Town Center CBD. And this specifically focuses on the crimes against women, also includes your contact crime, assault, common assault, GBH, sexual offenses, and attempted murder. And there was, as far as crimes against women is concerned, the reduction is primarily as far as assault common, contact sexual offenses is concerned, and crimes against children, assault common. Crimes dependent on police action, that includes your illegal possession of firearms and drug-related crime. And what says, although there was a notable decrease from 2012-2013 to 2015-16, the situation was turned around, where the increase from 2015-2016, it was a 4.9% increase and a 3% increase in the last financial year. Illegal possession of firearm, it was compared from 2014-15, there was a drop to 2016-17, but in the previous financial year, there was a significant increase in the arrest for illegal possession and firearms, amounting to a total of 134. The drug-related crimes, there was over the last three financial years, there was an increase of 6.6% and 0.3% in the last financial year, with a total of 4,930. I made a mistake in the previous financial year. The 134 that I referred to was the difference. The total is reflected at the bottom, 275. My apologies. Analysis and contributing factors. The CBD town center, it contributes to 14.2% of the contact crime. There we have the town center taxi rank, the business area with a large number of small shops, meat, vegetable and flea markets, and the problematic offenses in this specific area includes your robberies and burglary business. Sector 2, East Ridge, that contributes also to 17% of reported crime. There we have the contributing factor includes gangsterism, backyard dwellers, overcrowding, poverty and substance abuse, and the problematic offenses includes murder, attempted murder, assaults and sexual offenses. The third sector, Beacon Value, contributes to 13.3%, and the problematic factors includes gangsterism, backyard dwellers, overcrowding, poverty and substance abuse, and problematic crimes, murder, attempted murder, assault and sexual offenses. Tafelsug, that is sector 8. We have similar problems, that includes also gangsterism, backyard dwellers, overcrowding, poverty, substance abuse and domestic violence, and the problematic crimes in this sector includes murder, attempted murder, assault and sexual offenses. As far as the generators of contact crime is concerned, if we look at the station holistically, it includes, Honorable Chair, your high levels of gangsterism, substance abuse, domestic violence that takes place in the precinct, the proliferation of firearms as well as repeat offenders. We have an unemployment rate that is estimated at 25%. There's high levels of school dropout in this specific precinct, and there's a high number of backyard dwellers. Other factors that also contribute to the challenges that we also that we are currently facing include your public transport challenges that includes as the metro rail as well. The operational concept, the detail is being reflected there. Honourable Chair, it is similar to the what I've reflected for the previous police station, where they focus on a geographic and targeted approach that includes the organised crime threat analysis to address specific needs, the implementation of a matrix analysis to identify individuals and groupings that is involved in the commission of crime, the development of threat files that is informed by a crime threat analysis, an effective modus operandi analysis we're focusing on that includes a detailed analysis of reported crime. They're also focusing on the addressing of the following three generators of crime. That includes persons of interest. That is your wanted suspects and suspect warrants and known identified suspects, drug outlets and firearms. They're also focusing on the identifying of multiple and repeat offenders in the serious crime categories. That includes the categories that we've already highlighted, your murder, assault and sexual offenses. Also, the conducting of high-density operations in crime hotspots, the establishment and maintenance of an effective informer network, the drug operations that is intelligence-led or based on a proper intelligence analysis, and then also focusing on highlighted direct arrest cases that results in quick wins. Other government departments, the ones that are listed there, that stakeholders that are currently involved in the multidisciplinary approach that has been implemented by the station includes your Metro Police, Law Enforcement and Traffic, Department of Community Safety. The assistance and the support, Honourable Chair, is very similar to the previous presentation, so I would like not to repeat that. The National Prosecuting Authority, your Community Police Forums, they also involve young men Christian organisation. The Trauma Center, Neighborhood Watches, that also assists with court with bail opposition. Mosaic, that provides assistance to domestic violence victims. Kulisa, that assists with trauma counseling. Jobco, that assists with the commissioning of affidavits and certifying of documents. Department of Correctional Services is once again about educating communities about the integration of parolees. The way forward, the broader strategy that has been implemented in the current financial year, Honourable Chair, includes the execution of operations that are specifically focusing on the reduction of contact crime, the maintaining of Operation Thunder personnel in base camp that is situated in Tafelsig, enhancing community mobilization through faith-based organizations, CPF, as well as other community structures. They're also going to engage with other government departments that I've already highlighted. It includes your National Prosecuting Authority, Home Affairs, Education, Transport, and Social Development. And then the facilitation of the availability of crime-fighting technology, that includes CCTV, license plate recognition. That is the station. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, General. I think we'll give you a bit of a rest before you go to the national picture. If we can go each CPF chairperson 5 minutes, just to give us a holistic view of the issues and challenges, but specifically the committee wants to know if there's a functioning CPF, is there patrollers, how many, are they trained, and also then the existence of neighborhood watches, street committees in your areas. What is the community involvement in fighting crime? 5 minutes per CPF, let's start then with Johannesburg Central. You're welcome, sir. 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Salim Turkin. I'm the chairperson of the Johannesburg Central Community Police Forum. Firstly, as the chairperson of Portfolio Committee, I thank you for inviting us, that means the community, to come to Parliament and address our concerns. I'll just give you a brief on the question that you had raised now, if that's okay. One of the main challenges is that the majority of the population that is in the precinct, in this precinct, is a transient population that comes to the precinct between 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. during the 6 days of the week. The regular meetings of the CPF have been difficult to materialize as the majority of the members do not reside in the precinct, but commute to work on a daily basis. In order to mitigate this, the CPF is embarking on ensuring that the sectors are more effective and the CPF will be able to monitor the activities in all sectors. Instead of having the meetings, the CPF is walking the talk in each sector so they can provide guidance to both the sector members and the community members they meet, both businesses and residents, so that we can clearly understand the challenges from the communities we represent. Therefore, the CPF has regular executive meetings. The agenda at the executive meeting deals with crime trends, how they are being addressed at each of the sectors in the precinct, challenges with regard to communication with SEPs, and a challenge in the community. In order to encourage the community to participate in ensuring that the CPF action plan is implemented, we are encouraging communities to work with both the SEPs and the CPF to provide information to SEPs that will assist them in both reducing crime and to track perpetrators of crime. Meetings with the sector chairperson primarily deals with supporting each other when necessary and to ensure that they are functional and aligned to the activities of SEPs at the local level. We believe we need to re-establish street committees and neighborhood blocks, watch groups to maximize our efforts in combating crime. This is being undertaken and we have already established 20 block watch groups in the precinct. These numbers will be increased in the medium to long term. SEPs will be more effective with this approach as we would have more patrols of the community members and policeable crimes could be reduced. To date, we have developed partnership with the banks and they are sponsoring approximately 150 patrollers from 1st of November to 2018. In one of the sectors, the business community is sponsoring 45 patrollers. All car guards in the precinct will be profiled and processed for security clearance so that we can prevent collusion with syndicates and use this as a preventive strategy. However, it will be difficult to deal with socio-economic crimes as these are more related to unemployment, moral degradation, overcrowding in residential premises and cultural practices to deal with their own problems without intervention from SEPs or our judicial system. Depending on the type of communities, as this precinct has diverse communities from African and Asian diaspora, so different strategies need to be adopted to be able to reach out to them. There is a greater need to involve the foreign from communities through meetings with their leaders, regular outdoor promotion, patrol programs, social media leaflets. This is primarily to keep in touch with communities and inform them on the crime trends, challenges, and how to mitigate them with them, rather than for them. In addition, the CPF, together with SEPs, will set a WhatsApp group for the community to share information and inform both SEPs and the CPF on both potential and crime scenes, and any suspicious vehicles, individuals in the precinct. The Johannesburg Central CPF has an action plan which is hereby attached. This plan will assist us to be more organized in our efforts and we will be able to measure our progress in implementing the activities planned so as to determine if our objectives and targets have been met successfully. Although the CPF works closely with the JMPD on an ad hoc basis, it needs to be more structured. We would like to encourage the Johannesburg Metro Police to work closely with the CPF structures, as they do have cameras in most of the streets in our precinct. The information that is provided by the street patrollers could be verified with the Johannesburg Metro. This kind of intelligence will assist SEPs in their detective work, ward committee members and councils responsible for community safety, and encourage to participate closely with the CPF so that we can address all other constraints such as lighting, dilapidated building, hijacking of buildings and illegal business activities to minimize crime. The increase in illegal liquor outlets is another challenge, and both SEPs and Gauteng Department of Economic Development are tasked to monitor this special aspect of compliance. Youth Crime Prevention Desk. There is a youth desk at the station, however, their efforts have to be better
organized. Thank you, sir. Can you just maybe round off for the next 10, 20 seconds?
I won't be able to do it. I'll step down there.
Very much for your input. I think you covered all the areas. We appreciate and thank you for coming to the Portfolio Committee. We will then go to Hillbrow. Maybe be the same chair. I don't know. That's maybe the most appropriate, yeah, or this. Thank you, Brigadier, for assisting.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Denzel Ghosh and I represent the Hillbrow CPF. I'm not going to repeat what my colleague said because Joburg Central and Hillbrow was, for one thing, it's one area, two different policing precincts. But what we have done to help with our crime, especially the violent crime and the murders, is in Hillbrow we have got the taxi associations talking to each other. We had a big problem between Taxify, Uber, and meter taxis. We got them together. We are now currently in the process of getting the Zolabad taxis, because they are just springing up with the illegal taxi ranks all over the place, and it's a major problem for us. We all are getting help from JMPD and the station SAPs, but it's a work in progress. In Uber, we have six sectors, all functioning. We have three sub-sectors, Liquor Forum, Women's Network, our Youth Desk, and we have a patroller, a very strong street patroller program. Within the next 4 weeks, we're going to be launching a mobile kiosk patroller-driven program driven by the MEC of Safety and Security for Johannesburg, for Gauteng. We're going to put these. They're going to be staffed by trained patrollers, and they're going to be put in hotspots. They'll be movable, so from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, if a hotspot is a particular corner, they will be there. And we'll move them from 6 to 8 at a different hotspot, just to try and cover as much of the territory as we can and to alleviate some of the problems, especially where we experience with contact crimes in the hotspots. One of the things that we want to see from a CPF and a community point of view is there is a standard of a sector vehicle to patrol a sector. We would like to see two sector vehicles on duty at any given time, because if one sector vehicle is attending to a complaint in the area and the rest of the sector becomes it's left to its own devices until that guy, and if it's a serious incident such as domestic violence, including murder of a woman or a child, and that sector vehicle is stuck there. We also would like to see faster cooperation is the right word, but we'd like to see faster reaction from the support services of SAPS, the forensics guys that must come to scenes, and the SAPS vehicle cannot leave until they've done their thing. Sometimes it takes 6 to 8 hours for them to come and finish off. We do understand that the nature of the work is very involved, but for them to attend the scene takes forever. And at that point, we have SAPS vehicles and SAPS personnel standing, static. It becomes a problem for us. I don't have anything else I have to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your input. We will then go to Kagiso, CPF. Thank you. Thank you, madam.
Good morning. My name is Maria Ramatia from Kagiso Police Station under the leadership of Station Commander Maduna. In our area, we've got six sectors whereby three of them they are surrounded by mines that is next to Durban Deep Mine, which is Sector 6, 5, and 1. And Sector 4 is nearer to West Rand Mine. And Sector 3 is nearer to industrial area. Some of them are closed at those industrial areas and second-hand goods dealership. Our police station have 350 patrollers. Some of them, 2016, went to Tempe, Bloemfontein to train. Some of them went to Pretoria in 2016. 2017, some of them went to number 17 shaft to go and train. And we are also nearer to Kagiso Mall, and what is happening right now, we've got Sector 2, where is a gated community, where they have neighborhood watch that is working together with all the sectors. We had our monthly regular meetings with the police station. The youth desk has been established, And the kiosk is going to be established very soon, whereby it will be working between the community and the police station. We've got 8 patrollers that have been deployed at Kagiso Mall currently as I'm speaking. What we are going to do now is, because we have seen that the rape is very high in our location, we have added men and safety promoters at the executive and women and safety promoters in the executive of CPF, so that they can be able to go out and address the community regarding domestic violence. And also what we have added as per instruction from MEC Zakhele when we had a meeting in Moroka, that we need to add the Induna in our executive as they are nearer to the sector 5 area, because every time whenever there's a electricity cut off, then there will be a war between the community and the hostel dwellers. Now we are working hand in hand together. We had our first meeting on the 13th, and also the elderly people have been provided with memeza, those who are living alone, so that whenever there's a problem, they'll be able to use the memeza. And we also had 6 sector vehicles. As the location is growing bigger and bigger with the influx, sometimes you might find that our vehicle cannot manage the influx of the people. So as the location is growing, so also the resources must match the standard, I think.
Thank you very much, madam. We appreciate you coming to the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. We will then move to Nyanga Police Station. I think there was apology from Mr. McCarthy. He's not available, but the other colleague is here. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. My name is Mfani Kwebe, Nyanga City Secretary. Also, let me greet Police Minister and the National Commission, this team. Let me start saying firstly, we do acknowledge some achievements done by OSAPS in terms of Samora Machel police station that's under the way. After a long time fighting with them, at least lastly, they attended that one. Secondly, we acknowledge the deployment of additional members from other areas in our area. We also acknowledge an extra event that were given to us for sector managers and also the plant farm salary police station that is now operational with 60 members. Coming to the effect of the neighborhood watches, yes, we do have them in our 4 sectors. That is sector 1, we've got number 25 neighborhood watches that are active. We've got sector 2, that we recently recruited them, that's 104, still waiting for the training. We've got that sector 3, that is plant farm, the most problematic sector, that is saving more than 120,000 people. That is having 40 that are inactive. We've got some sector 4, that is Samora, Kosovo, the leagues in Haynes Park. Haynes Park, the leagues are not active. Samora, we've got 60. Kosovo, we've got 70. Particularly, with due respect, with the Western Cape political dynamics that are happening here, I also implicated in these embolwages, because if you go to Samora, Kosovo, you will find that some of them, we took long time to be in a working partnership, because claiming that I belong to the city of Cape Town, I belong to the provincial government, I'm not belong to SARS, all those things that were, I think it's one of which that need to be rectified. Those things made us to be very challenging in terms of addressing crime. Let me say, in Nyanga, we are very diplomatic and professional, because if we were like the people of Westbury, I think the police minister had to listen urgently. Since 2016, until today, we have been promised by 60 TRT members. But West Bay people, they just processed one day, tomorrow deployment of them, we were there. That's a challenge that we're facing. Hopefully the minister will take it seriously this time around. Really, we're very diplomatic in terms of addressing these things in Nyanga. Even we're trying to manage the protest. You see in Nyanga, you never see those protests because we're trying to manage them, knowing that if we allow them, we are making a critical situation for our station commander. Because other government departments are nowhere to be found in Nyanga. In terms of the law enforcement city of Cape Town and provincial traffic, they are not playing their part in these activities. You know, even if you invite city Cape Town law enforcement, they come for selective operations in Nyanga. They are not coming to do what they're supposed to do. And we feel so very offended with that one. Even provincial traffic, when you invite them, they will tell you this is not our boundary, this is someone's boundary, which means it gives our community a hard time. Look now, if you go to Nyanga, anyone goes can drive to Nyanga. If you stop in the robots while they are red, our taxi guys will tell you pop, 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 as if you are in the wrong area. Because there is no traffic laws. I think, Chair, these things we need to be very strategic in addressing them because our major problem, that's the taxi industry in Nyanga. I felt very strong that City of Cape Town, in terms of owning the ranks, doesn't take its own route. Secondly, Provincial Department of Transport, that's led by MEC Donald Grant, is not visible when these protests. Which means even our national transport minister is very quiet in addressing those things. Because even when minister was there last week, Friday, there were three medals. One of those guys that was shot dead was recently arrested by SAPS for having two illegal firearms, spear and a bone. Our justice team that's failing us a lot in Nyanga. He had to release that guy. Unfortunately, he's no more now. If you may say that our government is working parallelly, there is no working partnership in our government. Only all spheres, that is national, provincial, locally. I'm very, very extremely offended by our public reps for not being visible in our communities. Because we've got people who are deployed in national parliament, in local government. All those people are not coming to this community and find out the strategy way of fighting crime. I'm trying to say...
Sorry, sir, 30 seconds?
Yes, I'm about now. The request that we are requesting as Nyanga would like Philippi Transform Satellite Police Station to be converted to a full-fledged because they've got new developments in that area. Then also the review of the sector policy because it's failing. Sector policy is totally failing. We also request all those specialized units called FCS to be stationed level, not now in where they are situated because it's one of the challenges we're facing really in Nyanga. Lastly, the buyout of that police store behind police station. Last time we've been told that there's no law in South Africa saying police store can't be behind can't be behind the police store. In South Africa, that's the only one. You know, we are not proud to be Brian Mitchell, who's been championing the leadership of the WBO. Champion. We have been championing this matter for more than 7 years now. I think, Chair, in those things, we must be in an edge of understanding. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We welcome your frankness and openness. We appreciate and thank you for coming to the Portfolio Committee. We will then lastly go to the Chair of Mitchell's Plain. Thank you very much, sir. You're welcome.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, first and foremost, when we came into offices, the leadership, we agreed to 5 key pillars that would guide us. I'm just going to run through the pillars, which is women, youth, children, people with disability, and the elderly. The reason why we chose those five key pillars is because those are the most vulnerable when it comes to crime. I think, Chairperson, we also need to acknowledge that we had 400 volunteers. We have 400 volunteers. That comprises of street committees, block committees, neighborhood watches, and our sub-forums. We have 8 sub-forums in our sector, in our precinct, 7 community in the residential base, 1 business base. I also need to indicate that in terms of our approach to programs, we've got quite a number of key projects, what we call KPIs. One is what we call the GCAP. It's in partnership with one of the radio stations just in this province, one of the DJs from this province that looks at steering youth in the right direction, in particular DJ Ready D. And we've got 5 killer pillars under the GCAP. One is the safer roads. Now that we're moving into the safer road, into the festive season, is we utilize youth to be the ambassadors in the terms of the safer roads campaign. Chairperson, we also have quite a number of hiking projects. That also is noting the fact that Mitchell's Plain is in the middle of 2 big mountains, Table Mountain and the Jonkersoek Mountain. So most of the streets in Mitchell's Plain and around is named after the mountain. So we have a huge focus on hiking, specifically addressing the youth. Chairperson, we've got a child rapid response unit. Child rapid response unit is 30 volunteers. They are 24 hours on standby. In the eventuality of a child gets missing, they get activated. One, we need to say that most of our sponsors, before I go to the sponsors, the one other capital project that we have is one that we've just launched last week, that we just had the 11th edition of the inter-throw competition that we've been running for 11 years, that's focusing on schools, particular discipline, and all the other ills that exist. So that project we've rolled out in Eastern Cape. So currently we've got the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape leg of the Interschool Draw Competition. Myself and the leadership are now moving possibly into the Johannesburg area to roll out that same project. So if people from that area wants to buy into the project. Chairperson, as I said, in terms of the challenges that we have is the political interference within the Western Cape in particular, because we have 2 acts. We've got the Section 18 Act, and we also got this new act, the new act that creates conflict. And then we need to say to this portfolio community, it's create massive conflict, which is the new act that regulates neighborhood watches, or that gives them accreditation. Now, those volunteers that used to operate under the command, that used to listened in terms of processes under the CPF, are saying to us now, because there's an act, we are no longer accountable to you as the CPF. Yet we have to come here, yet we have to come and have to account in terms of crime prevention strategies, but then we have institutions or volunteers, because of an act that regulates them, to say that they are not accountable to the CPF. Chairperson, we also have a youth desk, as I've indicated. One of the challenges, another challenge is that seems like ourselves as the civilian league, and SAPS are the only people within the Mitchell's Plain police precinct that needs to address crime. Yet we, as I said, there's a clear absence of the other departments, and I'm going to name them. DSD is absent. We need to apply for SAP 55, which is searching for missing people. DSD and other relevant departments that we believe that has a core focus in terms of crime prevention. We also have social crime prevention officers that look at specifically going to schools, address the social issues at schools. Chairperson, and then, as I said, we are busy preparing now with our team for SFS, a safer festive season, and our primary focus is on one of the biggest business area, which is the township, the town center. Normally we deploy volunteers on a stipend basis, then we partner with the city of Cape Town in particular on that one. Chairperson, we need to say that most of the projects that we've been running, we are active on social media. We've got 2 accounts. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. We use that account not to deal with negativities, but to use that account to update the broader society of South Africa, our work that we are doing. Chairperson, funding. We are lucky if we get funding from the departments. But most of the funding we source outside, out of the precinct. Outside, for an example, the biggest sponsor for the inter-school drill competition, where we had, as I said, where we had learners from Eastern Cape, the education department, was the Chinese community.
from the Chinese Community Policing Forum, who are one of the biggest sponsors. Then if it's not them, chairperson, then my leadership, seven of them, have to cough up at least to run some of these projects. So we sacrifice our family life, chairperson. We sacrifice from time to time our fuel to run projects in terms of social crime prevention. And yet again, other projects, other departments are not there in terms of looking at how do we address the issues. Yes, we have challenges. We note the negatives. And we will be taking some of those negatives and positives. As I said, the two social accounts, if those want to follow us, we are active on our Twitter account. It's at mplaincpf. And we've got a Facebook account, which is Mrs. Plain CPF. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. We have a belief that take your street, own your street, fight crime. That is our methodology in terms of the four-pillar approach, in terms of four-pillar approach on gangsterism. One pillar, that's the pillar third, that specifically speak to community mobilization. Then there's also the four-pillar approach on 2014-2019 community mobilization. So hence, on that basis, we derived at the five key pillars, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for your contribution, and thank you for coming to the Portfolio Committee. I think we note the good work you are doing and also the sacrifices. Thank you very much. Are we going back to SAPS for the overhead national picture? General Sithole, is it again General Rabi with his voice intact?
No, thanks. Yeah, I think his voice is back. He will continue. Thank you.
Thank you. The purpose of the next presentation is just to brief the committee on the guiding principles that has been adopted by the SAPS to address the high levels of contact crime at the identified five stations as well as other police stations in the country. We will briefly touch on the background. I think by now I do not have to explain the contact crime category anymore. I think the committee knows it. We will just briefly touch on the operational approach, unpacking some of the pillars and what is required for the purpose of implementation at the relevant stations, and then also the command and control mechanisms that we implement to ensure operational effectiveness. Now, Honourable Chair, as far as the recently crime statistics released by the Minister of Police, the contact crime has been identified as a problematic area, and the SAPS need to respond to it in terms of a policing strategy, more specifically in identified problematic areas. Now, it is against this background that the SAPS developed an overarching strategy and implementation plan and also facilitated the process of planning at local level to ensure that we implement relative and viable actions that can address the high levels of contact crimes. We will just briefly in this presentation touch on the concepts and key strategic issues that we're going to focus on. And we've already briefed the committee on the five stations that includes Hillbrow, Johannesburg Central, Kagiso in Gauteng, as well as the Mitchell's Plain in Nyanga in the Western Cape. Contact crime, I would say, I think the committee knows now it is crimes against the crimes against the person as it is reflected, and I've highlighted the specific crimes in this category. Now, if we look at the operational approach that has been implemented by the South African Police Service to address the current problem, it is focusing primarily on an integrated approach where we integrate operational processes, resources, and intelligence across the operational environments so that we can have a proper effect on the high levels of crime, and this is then being coordinated by our operational command centers at the respective levels. The process will also include the establishment of multidisciplinary crime combating teams at the five identified stations that are in the two provinces. The SAPS has also prioritized the resourcing of these crime combating teams, and that will include the allocation of newly appointed constables to be trained and deployed as part of the groups and two specific areas to address the hotspot areas. The overall command and control of the operation and the resources that we will deploy in these precincts will be coordinated by the cluster operational command centers, and that will primarily include the crime station station crime combating teams that will be allocated to the clusters that will serve these police stations. The cluster and provincial crime combating teams will also be established, comprising of operational components to assist station crime combating teams at the stations that we've already referred to. And when we look at the operational concept that has been implemented, it is built on five pillars that we will unpack in a little bit more detail. Then the purpose of the exercise was to identify the key principles that we need to focus on and then use this as guiding principles to the police stations to ensure that they implement actions that is actually sustainable and that we can implement with the current resources that we have. Pillar 1 talks to intelligence gathering, analysis and coordination, and the competencies that are being affected by this includes our crime intelligence gatherers, NIU information officers and analysis from crime intelligence, DPCI and ORS. The second pillar focuses on a proactive approach that includes the capabilities of public order policing, visible policing and our air wing. Then the third pillar, with the combat approach, that includes our special task force, national intervention units, our TRTs, K9 and air wing, a reactive through detection approach, DPCI detectives and our forensic services. Pillar 5 will focus on community policing. That will include the capabilities of visible policing, detectives and corporate communication. And then lastly, our Pillar 6 that talks to communication and liaison. That includes the activities of visible policing and corporate communication. Honourable Chair, just to give you some background on the respective pillars, if we look at Pillar 1, that is talking to intelligence gathering, analysis and coordination, the committee will note that there are four sub-dimensions. The first one is intelligence gathering. The second one, information intelligence analysis, intelligence coordination on slide 13, and counterintelligence on also on slide 13. Without reading the detail as it is reflected there, specifically when we look at intelligence gathering, we have to implement actions to ensure that we have sufficient intelligence that is focused on the violent contact crimes and sexual offences. The SAPSIS also need to commit ourselves to increase the ground coverage on the identified hotspots and staging areas. We have to focus on the identification of syndicates and kingpins involved in this types of contact crime. Also, the provision of actionable intelligence to our technical teams for the purpose of operationalization, so that we are in a position to provide our operations with the necessary intelligence. The recruitment of credible informers, the identification of repeat offenders, then also the monitoring and interviewing of suspects, and then also to make sure that we have tactical information that is readily available on a daily basis to inform the operational structures for implementation purposes. And while I've dealt with that specific one, Honourable Chair, as I presented the presentations of the five stations, you would have noted that these activities will then be reflected in their respective operational plans. Now, as far as information intelligence analysis is concerned, we have to make sure that we collect and correlate and verify and analyze all available information in intelligence to make sure that we have it available for the purpose of operational planning. Now, that will lead to the identification and analysis of hotspots and staging areas, the updating and analysis of modus operandi for the purpose of reactive and proactive operations, then also, where applicable, the profiling and linking of arrested and wanted suspects, the trends and pattern analysis, days and times, as you had an idea of in the two presentations from the Western Cape, and then also to make sure that we, on a regular basis, in a position to provide an analysis products to both our proactive and reactive teams. The intelligence coordination will include the establishment of intelligence coordinating centers at provincial command centers, that's your POCCs, as well as the operational cluster operational command centers and station operational command centers, and then to ensure that we have proper and relevant in sharing of intelligence within the structures, and then also focusing on the consolidation and dissemination of intelligence products within the coordinating mechanisms. As far as counterintelligence is concerned, the focus is on the vetting and screening of personnel that are being deployed and utilized for the purpose of operations. All firearms of deployed personnel that are continuously taken for IBIS testing, as well as the investigation of suspected corrupt activities that are being identified during the duration of these operations. As far as Pillar 2 is concerned, the proactive approach, there are two key areas. Firstly, it's going to focus on the maximum deployment of proactive team members. Now, that is for the purpose of increasing police visibility and patrols in our identified hotspot areas to ensure that the SAFs at any given point in time has got a capability to rapidly respond to incidents, to assist with the training of suspects that has been identified as part of the intelligence gathering processes, to be in a position to provide airborne support where it is required and at the relevant time when it's required, crime prevention operations within the identified hotspot areas. Once again, that links to the previous pillar where we have to establish proper crime analysis, crime pattern analysis and threat analysis, the roadblocks and vehicle checkpoints on identified routes, and also then the enforcement of specific legislation that includes your Firearm Controls Act, Liquor Act, and your Second Hand Goods Act. Now, those activities are also, or were also visible in the presentation that we've done on the five stations. You know, community engagement, it's of critical importance, and I think Honorable Chair has been highlighted by the chairpersons of the respective committees, CPFs, that we are highly dependent on the various community initiatives and programs to ensure that we make an impact, and also focusing on education and developing of the various communities regarding the importance of crime prevention, as specifically in the Western Cape if you look at gangsterism. Then also continuous public hearing sessions with regard to gangsterism, coordinate and implement social crime prevention programs, outreach programs that will include our NGOs and other stakeholders, your churches, schools, youth camps, and then also specific social crime prevention operations where we also get to involve the CPF, the sector patrollers, Department of Education, Department of Social Development, and the other stakeholders listed. With reference to Pillar 3, the crime combat approach, focus is specifically on law enforcement through the various alternatives that are listed there that include your vehicle checkpoints and roadblocks, unidentified routes. Once again, these activities will be informed by the relevant intelligence and observation and violation affected areas, airborne support for quick operational responses, canine search and detection capabilities, where fresh or hot pursuits, where it's identified that we have a capability to immediately respond to that, intelligence-driven operations and follow-ups and tracing of identified and known suspects. Ma'am, I was waiting for that one. Honourable Chair, maybe let me explain that, and when we put it up, there's a logical explanation. What it's basically the approach is referred to as a coffee and tea operational approach, where you constantly in the face of identified criminals that has been identified as potentially involved in criminal activities, but due to the fact that we do not have sufficient intelligence at that specific moment in time or information to link the person to the criminal activities, the intention is then to be in their face all the time. And the word or explanation we use for that is a coffee and tea approach, but when we put it up there, we thought for a moment that it might be interpreted wrong, but that is the explanation. Pillar 4, the reactive through detection approach, crime scene management. It's of critical importance that when crimes are committed that we have a proper approach to crime scene management and also the utilization of our forensic capabilities, your proper cordon off and protection of crime scenes, as well as the utilization of forensic services in terms of the processing, analysis, and collection of evidence. When we look at the second sub-pillar of Pillar 4, talking to the investigation of crime, this was also evident in the plans that we presented for the police stations, where we focus on ensuring that we have quality investigations, that there's effective docket management, that there's effective and continuous liaison with the prosecuting authority, the management of exhibits and continuous monitoring of cases that has been reported, the docket flow, that we manage the docket flow process effectively right through the criminal justice system, the improvement and or enhancement and maintaining of an informal network, the bail manage, the bail processes that we get, that we are actively involved, effectively involved in opposing bail where necessary, and the other activities relating to the bail processes. Pillar four, that's still part of the reactive threat detection approach, where we focusing on the establishment of a consolidated database on wanted suspects that is continuously updated and purified as suspects are being arrested or new suspects and wanted persons are being identified. And then final investigation and prosecution processes, continuous consultation between the investigating officers and then prosecuting authority, where appropriate have dedicated prosecutors allocated to specific investigative projects. And then also the NPA to evaluate all evidence and exhibits to determine successful prosecution, and that is actually then forming part of the investigation process. Community policing, I think we've said a lot about this. This was also evident in the plans presented that talks to community outreach awareness programs, your multidisciplinary collaboration where we try to get communities actively involved in the fight against crime, and then at the same time build community resilience against crime to ensure that they are, as citizens of the country, also in a position to respond to crime. Then community, using our community policing and public order capabilities where the need is and when we have to attend to specific threats that require their assistance. Communication and marketing, and then also capacity, capability, and resourcing of our community police forums. Honorable Chair, I think that is also something that was raised by the presenter or the relevant chairpersons. Community liaison, security communication. We're going to focus on the media monitoring of violent contact crimes and sexual offenses, and focusing specifically on your positive and negative comments that we identify in the media that relates to specific incidents of contact crime. Then I think it's also, as linking to the previous pillar, we have to focus on sensitizing communities regarding security aspects as well as crime in general and the impact it's got on communities in specific as well as activities or efforts that communities can implement to address crime. Weekly media releases on successes, that includes our convictions, so that broader communities are aware of the activities implemented by the South African Police Service as well as successes. Crime scene media liaison, those are specifically in more serious crime scenes that we deploy our media capability to crime scenes so that they on the scene can respond to media questions and other related matters. The utilization of social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram to communicate police successes, to communicate your preventative measures and also sensitizing communities on specific crime threats. Liaison local facilitate continuous engagement with other stakeholders, the interdepartmental cooperation and through the joint operational intelligence structures, and then where applicable we will have our priority committee sessions as well. On the command, control, and coordinating mechanisms, we have previously briefed the committee that the South African Police Service have implemented the operational command center concept that includes the establishment of operational command centers at national, provincial, cluster, and station level. Now, these structures that we previously briefed the committee on will be utilized to coordinate the integrated approach and the integrated activities that we've briefed you on the previous slides. Our operational meetings will be held on a daily basis by the operational command centers at local level and then weekly cluster and provincial levels. The National Crime Combating Forum will establish a technical committee that will be made up of senior managers from all the operational divisions to guide and monitor the operations that have been implemented or to be implemented at station, cluster, and provincial levels. Honorable Chair, I think that is the broader concept. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that is the SAPS presentations. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll come back for the input from the civilian secretariat and then we'll go to questions. Thank you very much. 10 minutes, members.